You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
You're listening to the award-winning podcast, The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, featuring business experts, industry disruptors, game changers, and thought leaders to help you navigate a constantly changing marketplace. Want to build a successful business and become known as an influential voice in your industry? The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show will show you how. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
Welcome to another episode of The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show. This is episode 235, and I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, today's guest says that you can't create a culture unless its attributes first exist within you. And joining me on today's show is Isaac Tolpin. Isaac is a tech entrepreneur in the pursuit of making a difference through business and family. He has lost, he has won, and he's learned a ton with over $100 million in combined revenues from the companies that he's been involved in building. Now, he is the co-founder of the number one micro-learning platform, ConveyYour.com, and he's a family man with seven children and married 18 years to his wife, Angie Tolpin, and she's from CourageousMom.com. Now, on today's show, Isaac's going to share how to win with family while winning in business. Great to be able to get some male perspectives on that today, Isaac. How to succeed while preventing the four deadly costs of ambition. What are they? I'm dying to know. As well as why micro-learning is the only way to keep online learners engaged. Welcome to the show.
Oh, so great to be here, Anne-Marie. I love the intro. That was fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. And I love the topic that you're bringing it to us today, because there's so many golden nuggets across areas that I know so many ambitious entrepreneurs struggle with, particularly if they do have a family, men and women at the helm of leadership, whether they're juggling then children and the demands that we know with that, but also thinking around micro-learning, keeping online learners engaged. It's something that many organizations who want to put a training and onboarding and content online, how do we make sure that our, you know, company, our staff are engaging with that? So lots to dive into. Just share with us, if you would, a snapshot overview. You've been involved in so many different companies. Industries are diverse as well. Share a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm sure any entrepreneurs can relate. You start somewhere. I started at nine when my dad had me set up a card table and sell wooden crafts that I made. He was a carpenter by trade. And so that just hooked me on the ability to make a profit and create something with your mind, produce it, and get it out there. And that was followed up. I was in direct sales for many years. I've invested in racehorses. Done some real estate, you know, and then, you know, had an agency, e-learning agency, and now a tech entrepreneur. So,
yes.
You know, and some different things in between. And most importantly, I'm married and have a great family. And that's the biggest focus.
Yeah. What I love about entrepreneurial pursuits, and this is something that I'm learning from all of the guests that we're having on the show, is that one involvement and one industry and one experience continues to build strengths, knowledge, and experience, if you will, that they bring into the next venture. So what would you say, before we dive in, has been the biggest learning or insight that you continue to adopt across no matter what industry that you're in or what business that you're starting up or contributing your expertise to? Would there be one that you bring to the table?
Well, I think maybe a lesson that I'd like to share is that there's sometimes nothing worse than a really successful young person. And what I mean by that, I love, you know, being young. I'm 42, so I still think of myself as young. But you know what? I learned hard. I had a really successful bout when I was even younger. Mm. And what I learned is that arrogance can creep up on you and you don't even realize it. And so as soon as you become too good for certain things, and even internal, even if you're not, that arrogance isn't emanating from you to other people, even if it's internal, it can create blind spots, and you got to be aware of that.
Yeah, I love that. Great insight. Let's talk about how to win with family while winning in business. What are the key insights?
Yeah, you know, I think that so many people are ambitious towards their careers, their businesses, and so forth. And that's a good thing. I am too. Okay. I include me in that. However, what starts to happen is we take for granted what matters most to us naturally, because there's pressures and deadlines and things on our business. So there isn't the same, maybe in real time, pressure to perform. And so, but what happens is everybody says with their kids and in marriages is that time flies by. Okay. And so I've always kind of had a respect for that. And so I've taken the principle, and I encourage anybody listening to take the principle of, you know, am I leading as well at home as I am in my business? And I really believe that if you take, if it's counterintuitive, but if you take care of the things that actually matter most to you, the family first, and give priority to that and bring your leadership there in implementation, that it actually is a catalyst to your business interests. And your business interests should be a catalyst to your family interests. Now, there are competing frictions. I get it. You know, if you're someone that travels a lot, you know, for whatever reason, if you're CEO or these different things, you know, I've been in those situations. And all I can say is at the end of the day, there's always choices. And it's how we present ourselves. Even if we have to be gone a while, when you walk in the front door of your house, are you like, oh, I get to take a break and I have all these burdens on me from work and I'm still thinking about them. And, you know, I'm half-hearted asking how your day was to the kid or the wife or the husband and, you know, these kinds of things and really not meaning it. And I think it just takes, you know, a powerful pause. So here's a tip for everybody. Take a powerful pause when you're driving home or you're sitting in your car. If you pray, pray. That's great. If not, you know, think. And think about your intentions as you walk in that door. And you know what? I will. I'll pray for a burst of energy. I'll pray for, you know, intentionality that, you know, to suppress, you know, stop thinking about the challenges I'm dealing with work and just be 100% present and deliver. Because you know what? There's no time to spare for those called to widespread impact. And the most important place you're going to have impact is with your family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With seven children, what ages are they?
Yeah, great. Well, the eighth one is going to be due in September. Wow. And then we have a two-year-old on up to 17.
Yeah, amazing. And then your wife, of course, as we mentioned in the introduction, has a website, CourageousMom.com. And with another one on the way, my goodness. So, I mean, let's talk about, I mean, everything that you shared is fantastic. And I think you have to set that intention and you really need to make the decision that this is how it's going to be. So what would you just say to someone that recognizes that this is so very important? Did you always have that understanding, or were you through experiences and circumstances got to the stage where you said, you know what, I have to make this clear decision and so forth? How did that happen for you? And what would you say to someone that recognizes the importance of this but yet hasn't quite got there yet?
Yeah, two really good questions. I would say most of my family life, with my family, I'm building. I've been very intentional. There's been seasons entrepreneurially where I'm just totally tapped out. Like I had a business failure that was big, and that was a big challenge I learned a lot from. But what I would say is that, what is the legacy? Here's the question. What is the legacy you want to leave? And businesses come and go. I mean, they go out of business all the time. And when you're not involved, what's going to happen to that business? But your family lives on, and they're going to have children, and they're going to have children. So the greatest way you can impact is that way. But do you have a mindset? Are you a visionary? Well, of course, you're going to say yes, right? But are you a visionary in terms of your family and the legacy you're building? And I think that's a powerful question. I thought about that at a young age because I really didn't get supported maybe in the ways I would have liked when I was younger, and maybe people can relate to that. And I didn't have that tight family unit that you know, in the way I would have loved. And so, so I think that it's a desire to create a new legacy and to be descriptive about that and write out not a business plan, but a plan. Like, what does that look like? Because if you've never lived it, how do you know what to do? Well, have you ever lived your business until you created it? You know, it's a similar thing, or your projects at work and things like that. So it's a similar thing. I took a business approach to it. And in a lot of ways, in intentional. Now, the person that's like, hey, I know that, but you don't understand my shoes. You don't understand what I'm dealing with and the challenges I'm in. Hey, I had 43 employees. had a hard time making payroll, struggled with that, had a business failure in my not too distant past, actually. And I understand the pressures of those things. But you know what? It's really discipline. Like, have you ever exercised and stayed the course? Have you ever created disciplines that made a massive difference in your life? It really, that comes down to a choice. And usually we don't make a choice until things are painful enough. And unfortunately, that pain comes when it's too late sometimes with children, marriages, things like that. So I just encourage people, do not sacrifice that which is best for something that's inferior, which is your career.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, your career is important. They should be catalysts to each other. And, you know, if you just feel tapped out, well, are you healthy? Are you doing things in your life that you know are wrong and they're hurting your identity and how you view yourself and how people view you around you? You know, there's things that we tend to do that are opposite of what we want to be doing. And we've got to pay attention to those sometimes because they could be hurting how you deal with your family. And I think that vision is the biggest part, and then taking action on it.
Yeah, great lessons and insights in there. Let's talk about how to succeed while preventing the four deadly costs of ambition. And I think you might have hinted to one earlier about that ego and, you know, and getting sometimes success too quickly when you haven't really got those clear foundations in place. And even from a personal mindset point of view, what are these things that we really need to keep an eye and ear out for that they don't keep us stuck?
Yeah, I think, and I'll start with that one. Arrogance for sure is one. We talked about that. I mean, it is silent and deadly. It is something to where there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Okay. It's okay to be confident in your abilities, have a stature, a presence in the room that attracts people, and all of those things are fine. Some people are going to go, wow, that's an arrogant person, and you're not, right? And that's just confidence. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a people mix that up. But then the arrogance becomes when, you know, a feeling inside of I'm too good for certain things, I'm too good for certain people, or, you know, I'm too good to do certain jobs in my own company, or to set the example, or, you know, our communication becomes arrogant at people and those kinds of things. Well, here's a big one where arrogance kills is, and I call it pride, which is where we're not asking help and sound wisdom from the right people. And that goes into my next one, which is isolation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people, the cost of ambition is isolation because you don't feel like anybody understands what you're doing or what's happening around you. And it's hard to talk about it. And people misunderstand when you share it and they might misunderstand you. Well, you know what? You might think they're misunderstanding you, and some of it might be true. First of all, the second thing is that you can't be in isolation. People, especially running a big race, let's say you're trying to do something big for the world. And, it's really important to have these really precious people near you that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Good friends. I'm not just talking about like a board or advisors. Those are good. But friends, confidants you can trust that are not just going to give you advice based on their experiences, but are going to give you truthful, objective advice with real listening. Mm-hmm. And you can trust them with anything. Those people are essential. A lot of times people that are ambitious, they pretend to have those people, but they don't really let anybody in.
Yeah.
And that can be deadly.
Isaac, before we go on to the third bit, let me ask you about that, because I think that is key too. So two questions. How do you identify people in your circle that could be like that? And I'd imagine that you have to set up a conversation first to let them know what you really are looking for so that you could create a relationship where you are able to get that support.
Yeah, I think it's crucial. And it's not about age. I mean, some of my most trusted people are younger than me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're older, too. But you're right. You have to be intentional. If you do not give permission to people to speak truth in your life, then they're probably not going to. I can think of an example of after my business failed, a very good friend of mine, I did not give permission to verbally. And he thought I was making mistakes and never told me. And only after the fact did he say, yeah, I really thought that was wrong. And but I didn't know if you wanted to hear it and that kind of thing. And so, you know, how important is that from the right people doing it? By no means a lot of people. I mean, it's a handful, right?
Yes.
That you're going to really tell to do that. But you need to do that. And just to back to the kids real quick. At the same time, are you allowing people in your family to be honest with you too? Do you ever ask them, hey, how am I doing as a father? How am I doing as a mother? That's the hardest question you'll ever ask. And you never want the answer. Because nobody wants criticism. But you know what? What I've always, even leading companies, is if you aren't willing to ask that question, you're not going to find out what they would have told all the employees. Mm. So, but if you ask it, they're like, whoa. And then there's no need to share it with other people. Mm-hmm. So it's a proactive thing. And do you want your kids, and I'm going back and forth here, but they're related. You want your kids sharing with their friends that they're going to come over to your house, negative things about you, because you never asked them, hey, how am I doing as your father? How am I doing leading? How am I doing encouraging you? You know, and those kinds of things I think is really important. And so, but yeah, with mentors, you gotta give them permission.
Yeah. I love that. And I think bringing in, you know, asking the children as well is so important, because if one area in our life, and that's, you know, family, very important, is lacking, it often is a reflection of how other areas. We're all one person, and you have to look at that from a holistic point of view. And I love the way that you said even earlier, you know, how is your health? If one area of your life in the circle of life, we know that is important, is out of whack, then that's going to impact sooner or later the things that we really care about. So we have to make that decision. So what's the third deadly cost of ambition?
There can be an integrity breakdown, and you think you're not. You think you're the most integral person in the world. But sometimes when you're ambitious, you enter a spin style of language and communication. And I think today people are starving for real, and they're starving for authenticity from their leaders. And what often I've seen happens is the more ambitious, especially, you know, sometimes people haven't experienced challenges as much. But what will happen is they'll spin the truth. They're not necessarily lying, but people can sniff that out in a second today. Yeah. Where that might have worked 10 years ago, no way. And so every single day we have to prove ourselves again as honest leaders. It is not that you did this one thing one time for somebody and everybody found out about it and wow, what a great leader.
Yes.
That gave you a week. Okay. That big thing you did. It's every single day you need to keep reproving yourself, because let's face it, most leaders fall, and it's challenging. Now, I think on the follower side, the people need to be grace giving and understand that nobody's perfect too. So I think there's two sides to that. But I think integrity breakdown, the more ambitious you get sometimes, in the wrong kind of ambition, you can break your integrity, because the pursuit is an end goal, but how you get there isn't always paid attention to.
I think that
journey actually matters more.
Yeah. It's interesting that you talk about integrity and, you know, about the arrogance. And in a couple of conversations that I've had, and I know through my own experience, a failure that just brings you to your knees is one of the most humbling experiences ever, because you take on a whole different perspective, don't you? Of life, of business, of relationships, the whole lot. Not that we want people to experience failure, but there's something to be said in that, because it does reframe everything, doesn't it?
It totally does. It totally does. And the last one of the four is family sacrifice. And we already talked about that a bit, so I won't go deep into that perhaps. But I just think that there's a saying, and I've said it before, as soon as this, then I'll. And I think that that's problematic for somebody wired to try and do something successful and big, because we keep saying that, unfortunately. And if you keep saying it, pretty soon you're 60 years old and you have a life of regret.
Yeah.
And I think that there is no as soon as. Just don't do that. Put a deadline on your season. There can be seasons. I get it. I've had my seasons. Where you communicate clearly to the family and go, here's the season, here's the extra work I'm going to have to do, make an agreement together with your spouse of sacrifice and commitment, giving you a bunch of tips here that are super important for your relationship. But decide together, don't just decide and tell, okay? Then you go on this adventure of trying to achieve something big for a season of sacrifice, and you better live up to that deadline. And if that season's up and you just keep going without communicating well, you are paying such a heavy price in the hearts and minds of the people that matter most that you will never forget it.
Yeah.
And so it's really important to be careful about it.
Yeah. One of the sayings that I had repeated back to me that is, when are you finishing? 5 minutes. And my husband once said, yeah, I know, you're 5 minutes, and then walked off. And I went, oh, okay. You know, just 5 minutes. And then, of course, something else grabs your attention. It's kind of like if you say something, you've got to live up to it, because do it a few times and people go, yeah, whatever, we know you. So such a great reminders there. Let's talk about micro-learning. Yeah. It's the only way to keep online learners engaged. So how would you define micro-learning?
I would say it's a focused approach to learning that aligns with human behavior. So there's many aspects that have to be there to get high engagement, but it's not less content necessarily. This is a misnomer about it. Mm-hmm. It's just delivering it in a way that is total alignment with what we're used to today, so people engage with it and like it.
Yes. Yes. And so when we're looking then at micro-learning as smaller chunks, I would imagine, is there like a timing in that, or is it more on topic? How do we define it or bring that into practice then? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, this is cool. So there's something called learner trust that I want to share, because I think that why do people bail on digital experiences? Mm-hmm. Well, think about your YouTube experiences or Facebook videos or wherever you're getting your media and your news online station. You know, how long are you retained by any given video? Mm-hmm. It's usually a couple minutes, right? Yes. Until you get what you want and you bail on it, mm-hmm. you go do it. And sometimes you'll watch a whole thing, but usually those videos are short. So you break learner trust if someone doesn't learn something within 5 to 7 minutes, get a completion, like they can tell it's completed. I know if I come back, I can continue on from where I left off, and get recognized for it amongst other people. And if you don't do all three of those in a digital training environment, you're breaking learner trust. And let me tell you an example of this. When I'm learning it and I establish learner trust of 5 minutes and all that happens, later on when I'm busy, which everybody's busy, whether they are or not, they think they are, and they think, oh, I want to go learn that again. Do I have 10 minutes right now? They're going to say no. Do I have 5 minutes right now? Yes. Mm. It's one thing to get someone in your program. It's another thing to get them to continue going.
Yes.
And it becomes out of sight, out of mind if you break that learner trust. There's several things that go in with that, but that's a good way to start.
Yeah. I like the way that you've mentioned that, because, you know, with me, I know that my attention span is short. And if someone rambles on, it's kind of like, you know, like this. And so podcast listening, even if people are really interesting and I love the topic, I'll listen to it on a faster speed. And I just realized someone shared an app with me that you could speed up videos too, because I'm just like a sponge. So if we're thinking about then, and we're going to share obviously in a moment, because you've got a website that helps with that. So I would imagine that those are the biggest obstacles. The lessons are too long, we're rambling, and we're not getting straight to the point. With that, you mentioned something, I think it was the third point, recognition. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, so the term is gamification. I'm not talking video games and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like on your LinkedIn profile, for example, it'll say what percentage of your profile is filled out, and it'll give you a badge with a name.
Yes.
I think I'm called an all-star or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what? Subconsciously, I see that and it feels good.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to ever say to you, I'm so glad I'm an all-star on LinkedIn, right? Or for themselves.
But we do think that, oh, good.
No, good. I'm pretty good.
Yeah,
You know, fear of missing out, FOMO.
Yeah,
have you heard of that? Right.
Yes.
So that's the social media drivers. Gamification is used in social media, which is, you know, somebody, you got a notification, somebody liked or commented, and there's a fear of missing out on what they said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go there right away. So it gets people back in. If you ever notice on your LinkedIn, for example, your notifications will ding all day. So if you go there to see your notifications, a couple more will appear pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Their algorithms are geared to do that, I'm sure, because they can make a notification just of, hey, someone's birthday, hey, this person got a new job. They'll just keep feeding them to you to get you back into their certain number of days onto that social media platform.
Mm.
Well, do we want people addicted to our training programs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do, right? So we want them to love it and come back. And so you got to have that recognition. The way you do it is you give achievement currency for all kinds of participation.
Mm-hmm.
It can be the same for everyone, or you can gear it towards right answers and wrong answers. There's two ways to do it. And then a leaderboard, and whether you know the people or not, it drives them. I'll tell you a quick example. I built a course in 2 days using an iPhone. I have good equipment, but I decided to just do what anybody could do. 11 videos, 11-day challenge stripped out over 11 days with a text message notification each day.
Yeah.
It was for business owners. I didn't talk about points or anything, but every time they did something, they got points. Then on the fourth day, I invited them to share it to social media. And by the way, I'll give you 1,000 points. Boom. If this thing exploded, tons of people sharing it everywhere.
Wow.
And these are 40, 50, 60 year olds. And there was no reward. All they had is their name on a leaderboard of people they didn't know. And so it was
that competitive
phenomenal.
Drive, isn't it? It has to be, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People just get into it.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah. And something that I love to do, too, as a, you know, working through tasks and everything, is being able to have that completed. Nothing inspires me more than either clicking a button and having ding, complete, or crossing it off a list. So when I see video things that says, oh, no, like 89% complete, because I haven't watched the end, yeah. I just minimize it so that the thing can end, so 100% done. That's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Oh, we love to complete things, but we only love to complete short things.
Yes.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're looking then at ConveyYour, share a little bit about that technology, some of the things that you've implemented, and even some of the success stories that you've seen through interacting and really engaging people this way.
Yeah, I'll start with a story of a large international bank that used ConveyYour for a 30-day challenge, and they made it optional. It was a short video with a gamified question every day, text message notification each day. So each day they got a new morsel of content and a text message every day for 30 days. They go into their portal on the phone, and they would answer a question and watch a short video. Video was basic. It was just one guy talking at the camera, so nothing special. A phenomenal thing happened where they got 100% completion of those 30 lessons over 30 days with an entire group of middle managers. So I'll tell you why that's working and why this is taking off like crazy. It's because, first of all, we recommend text message notifications. So the system can do text or email, but we recommend text message because it's personal. It's just-in-time notifications where it's practical on my phone. It's mobile first. You got to have mobile first, whatever you're doing, but work on everything else. Most things are PC first and made to work on mobile. Hey, I just read a stat that 80% of social media is consumed through mobile, and 48% of digital media that millennials can, 48% of millennials will only consume digital media on a mobile device. They literally will not consume your media if it's not on a mobile device. So it's vital. And then the other thing is short, you know, ConveyYour can take any size video, but we recommend 3 to 5 minutes, sometimes shorter, depending on the use case. And then two-way engagement. You have to be able to communicate back. People want an experience, and they want to get recognized for it.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the things. You know, I don't want to go too deep, but those are some of the things.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I'm just popping up some show notes of an interview that I did yesterday. And this was with a HR professional who mentioned some statistics, and this is globally, that in 2020, up to 60% of the workforce will be millennials. 60% of the workforce will be millennials. So what you're saying there is, if there's training to be involved, whatever content that you want your employees and team to engage with, then we need to be looking at mobile first, because of the fact that it's millennials.
So glad you said that. And that brings up a point, which is a lot of times HR people, I talked to a lot of chief learning officers and so forth, and have gotten a lot of their opinions. And one of the things that I've seen out there is kind of a throw your hands up mentality. And it's because maybe they didn't know about microlearning, but they're doing their traditional LMS platforms and so forth and putting stuff out there and like, hey, I built it. If they learn or not, that's not my problem. I did everything I could. I built it. I put the library out there. They should learn. And it's not all of them by any stretch, but there's a hunger for this. And then when they find out about microlearning and they're learning about it, they're like, oh, breath of fresh air, because now we can do it. But I think there's a responsibility on the production side, the people producing this stuff for learner retention now that there are good solutions and better ways to do it. We cannot, Harvard Business Review had an article where they talked about how companies are destroying their culture and their employee engagement, things they care most about, and don't even realize it because they're giving things to their employees in inferior technology to what they use in their everyday lives. Steve Jobs changed the game.
Yes.
Like, we cannot use things that have bad user experiences that aren't on mobile. Yeah. It's just, are you kidding me? That's crazy.
Mm, yeah. And so if someone's listening or watching today, who has gone the traditional and the LMS, as you said, is it easy to integrate something like ConveyYour on top of that, or do they need to completely reconfigure everything from start?
That's such a good question. It's a perfect question.
I'm thinking ahead of my stuff too.
Yeah, no, so good. Yeah, you know what? A lot of the companies start by integrating with their existing LMS because that's the easy button.
Yeah.
You always want to start with something new with the easy button. So then you can keep what you're already doing, but now humanize it and bring it to life with microlearning. It stitches right in. And then what often is going to happen is, some of the new programs down the road will stand alone in the microlearning.
Yeah, absolutely. Rather than, because a lot of times then people would be listening and watching, oh, we have to start from scratch. Well, no, you don't. Integrate, and then moving forward, anything that you do, look at it through the lens of microlearning and on mobile, and take that from there. It has been it's only been 8 o'clock in the morning for me, so quite an early, but my goodness, what a start to the day with everything that you shared. So share with everyone the best way to get in contact with you to learn more about this microlearning. How do they do that?
Yeah, conveyyour.com, conveyyour.com. And there's a free demo. You can put your name and cell number in there, and it'll text you a link, and you can play with the demo right on your phone.
Yeah.
You can learn more about it. Also, I can give you something they can play with and put in the show notes if you're into that. Like a free thing, a conveyor campaign. And then you can find me on social media, Isaac Tolpin.
Yeah, fantastic. And yes, we will put all of those links on the show notes as well, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/AES235. Thank you so much, Isaac. It's been a powerful show today. Lots of great content there. I appreciate you sharing.
Absolutely great to be here. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. Changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.